You may imagine that over the course of 16 years raising boys, we have amassed quite a variety, wide variety of toys over the years. One of the popular ones that has caused a lot of joy with all of my boys has been a toy car track, consisting of a flexible track that you can connect in sections and shape around the floor, making turns and bridges, hills and valleys. And it comes with a set of motorized cars that run on batteries. Double A's. It's about as simple as you can imagine these cars are. Those cars have rubber tires. They're about the size of a quarter. And a single switch to turn it on and off. A battery-powered motor, obviously, that goes one speed in one direction. There's a sticker on the bottom near the switch that makes every adult cringe when reading it. It says, "Do not put this car anywhere near anyone's hair," or something like that. I could imagine that some poor child, probably some poor sister, have learned from experience and experienced excruciating pain having their hair ripped out of their head with these cars. Those rubber tires, getting a hold of a chunk of hair and begin winding it around the axle without stopping until someone shrieks in terror and somebody comes running, looking for that switch. Now, we may have all heard that idiom of getting wrapped around the axle on something, which is a way of explaining a situation where once we begin giving our attention to something, it can be very hard to stop. And quite often, that involves a resulting negative set of emotions, negative results as well. When we get wrapped around the axle, we often will find ourselves feeling kind of frustrated, having gotten to a place where we never intended, gross even. We might even feel icky and wonder how in the world we even let ourselves get to that space. Now, when that happens, it can take a lot of effort to unwind ourselves and put our thoughts back into the right perspective. Now, these days, there is a ton of fuel that can suck us in to get wrapped around the axle if we aren't careful. The world is not in a good state right now. God is very angry with the ways that people at large are behaving around the world. They are leaving him behind, plain and simple. That is something that makes him very angry, and we should be very angry about those same things, and I dare say that we do become very angry. I know, speaking for myself, that when I read the news and hear about all that's wrong in the world, it feeds my emotion of anger and frustration. And that anger, for a moment, is very stimulating. And oddly, it makes me want to find yet more information that makes me feel even angrier, and more, perhaps even more justified with the way I feel. And it continues, it spirals, and by the time I get to an end of the endless scroll, my end of the endless scroll, I don't feel very good. I feel disgusted, and it's not good. This is what it's like getting wrapped around the axle, and maybe some of you can relate. Now, I want to be clear, we need to be angry with what is going on in the world in the same way that God is angry. But we also need to keep it in check, because we do not want it to take us over. I'll have you open up your Bibles to Ephesians 4, and we'll read verses 26 through 32. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 26, we read, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good, for necessary edification," that is building each other up, "that it may impart grace to the hearers. and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We read here that we are told to be angry, having the same evaluation of the world as God has. And we know that he is very angry, but we also need to consider what we will do with that anger. And that is the key. What do we do with that righteous indignation that we might have? Are we going to use that to motivate us to do what is right in our lives? That's what God wants us to do. Or are we going to let that fester and become poisonous in our lives, twisting around and causing us to develop these characteristics that we are told to turn away from? The focus in this scripture has much more to do on doing what is good, being angry, but turning that around so that we can use that to motivate us properly to live a godly life. We do not want to give place to Satan. He wants to incite us. He wants us to develop an attitude of hatred. Satan provokes us to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. And that turns into malice. That is the opposite of love. That is willfully doing something that harms one another instead of the opposite, which is love, that outgoing concern for one another that we are told to have. What will you do with that anger that we are supposed to have? Let's turn to Romans 12, and we'll read verses 17 through 21. Romans 12 and verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are not to allow anger to get its grip on us and manipulate us to repay evil for evil. Rather, we are supposed to do what is good, repay evil with good. God is angry, and we ought to be angry as well. When we give place to wrath, however, we need to make sure we know what we're doing. We set our judgment about what is right and wrong. That is what the Holy Spirit helps us to discern. But we hand over that wrath to God. He is the one who will repay. He is the one who will perform the punishment. It is not our job to do that. We are the ones who are to understand what it means to live righteously. As an example, in all humility. That is what we are supposed to do. And that helps to protect us as well from becoming filled with that poison of anger. Let's turn to Philippians 4 and read verses 8 through 9. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Where we focus our attention has an impact on who we are. It has an impact on our attitudes, and it has an impact on how we behave. Where we place our attention helps us to have the right perspective so that we don't become overtaken with wrath and develop those terrible characteristics that God does not want us to have. Rather than letting anger and wrath eat us up, rather than letting the sun go down on our wrath, we have a way to make a correction. And that is a prescription provided to us right here. Our focus is on the positive things, the godly things mentioned here, such as the great future that God has planned for you, for me, for our friends, for the whole world. Our focus should be on the positive thing of the fact that God will fix all of the problems that we see today, that we will be part of his family, and that everyone else will have an opportunity for salvation. These are the good things that we need to focus on so that we can live in a way that is pleasing to God. Anger is a very strong stimulus that will devour us if we let it. There was a certain study, a psychological study done in the 1960s where these people who were part of the study were hooked up to a device that had a set of buttons. They were unlabeled. But these buttons were connected to electrodes that would create a stimulus in people's brains. And they triggered certain types of emotions. Some triggered joy and disgust, all kinds of emotions. What the study showed is that the button that people chose to push more than any other created a sense of mild frustration and anger. It seems odd because there were other buttons that they could push that would give them an elated sense of physical pleasure. But yet, these people chose that button that created that sense of mild frustration and anger. I pushed it over and over and over again. It is physiologically addictive to feed our appetite for anger. That is how we are wired as human beings. News channels have figured this out. This is why we see more and more polarizing, sensational types of news reports. It's because this is what people want. It's what people respond to. We have to overcome that human tendency, though. That is what the Bible instructs us to do, is to overcome. Because Satan wants to bring us with him. But we cannot give place to the devil in our lives. We give place to God to manifest his wrath. It's not our job to manifest ours. We can use our righteous indignation to draw us to meditate on the great things of God's plan. As we read, when we do that, the God of peace will be with us. How much greater of a mindset, frame of mind, will you be in when you can have that sense of peace instead of that sense of icky, gross frustration after an endless session of scrolling the news? This attitude of positive virtue, returning evil with love, this is what will prevent us from getting wrapped around the axle.